like this.
Roll my sports show. Roll my sports show. Prime time. Let's go.
Look or listen no further. This is your host, Ryan Primetime Jones, where I dig into the mind of sports fanatics and athletes, as well as give you my mind on the sports topics you need to know. To be the best, you got to beat the best. Speaking with a raw mind, this is Raw Mind Sports. Let's go!
Welcome to Raw Mind Sports. What's on my mind? But today it's going to be on what's on Levon Whitaker's mind for Sports Week. It's an honor to have him on the show today to kind of give his topics on a few recaps of last week's games, week 9. We're about to dive into week 10, but we're going to start week 9 first. Levon, it's good to have you here, man. How are you, man? First of all, how are you, man? I mean, you do your thing with your predictions on Sports Week.
I'm well, man. Thanks for having me on the show, Ryan. Hey, man, it's an honor to be here on the show. I appreciate the invite, man. I know we've been trying to get this together for a couple of weeks now, but I'm well, man. And I'm looking forward to this topic today of covering on week 9 of football. It's a crazy week going into the second half of the season, so I'm looking forward to it, brother.
Right, right. And I agree. Let's start off with week 9. The first game of week 9 on Thursday night. The battle of who's going to get the number one pick? Oakland and San Francisco. Let's dive into that. What's on your mind?
You know, man, you know, I just think you get John Gruden. He's a $100 million man right now, and he just can't pull any strings together. I mean, right now, the brothers won it. He's won one game.
Right.
So when you look at that, you look at the 49ers and Shanahan. He loses the starting quarterback, loses Garoppolo, you lose CJ. You bring in Mullins from Southern Ole Miss. I mean, so what's the deal here if you're the Oakland Raiders? And what are you really trying to accomplish next year? Because you know you're not trying to accomplish anything this year. How many first-round picks do you need? Are you tanking and trading away everything at the same time? It's just right now I don't know the personality of the Oakland Raiders. And it's really terrifying to see considering that you have such a great quarterback and a very well-known head coach. And right now, they're just two names that aren't doing anything on the field or off the field.
I agree. Here's my thought. Like, John Gruden got a lot of money. I figured that this was going to be a process with the Oakland Raiders. The thing is, I know he's not going to get fired this year or next year. Now, any years after that, after he goes through rebuilding. So basically, it's like he's building for the ground up, getting rid of everything to provide what he wants to provide as a coach. Him as a coach. Bringing his own system and the way he does things. So I get that part. But now after this stuff happens, then that's the problem. If he can't still win after that, he basically dismantled the defense. I saw him that same night against San Francisco 49ers. That's my favorite team, which, hey, win, lose, draw, stick with him. I saw him looking at the defensive coordinator disgruntled. You can't be disgruntled with the defensive coordinator when you gave him nothing to work with. He got rid of the problem. Probably one of the best, if not the best, because some people say Donald.
Khalil Mack. Yeah.
Khalil Mack is the one, but I'm talking about the one they say that is the best defensive player in football right now for the Rams.
Oh yeah. You get right at Aaron Donald and Donovan Sue. You don't pursue either one of them.
Right. So they feel like they're the best in football, as the NFL say, as they say, he's right. The best. Then you get rid of Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack by far is probably right behind him. To me, could be the best in the NFL. And you get rid of him. Then you get rid of multiple players on defense. Then you get rid of Crabtree. Bring in Jordan Nelson. Now, another question is, I don't know if the system fits well or Derek Carr is just not as good as we thought he was. Because of the fact that John Gruden took over this team. He always liked Derek Carr during his QB camps when he was working for ESPN at the time. So right. I asked myself, is he really taking something away from Derek Carr? But Derek Carr is not that good. That's one thing. So I'm going to give him a break for now. But now I ain't going to give him a break after next year. That's what I'm saying with John Gruden. A lot of people may say he's thinking it up right now. They're going to Las Vegas, bigger market. he has to give the Raider fans something to see. Or he will be at the 10 million. 10, I mean, 10 years, 100 million. Absolutely. You got to be the best coach for football. You get that type of contract.
Have to be.
He basically got a contract off of what he knows and the knowledge of the game from ESPN. That's where his contract came from. If you look at before he got that job in his previous year as a coach, he wasn't that good. He took over a team with Tampa Bay that was already filled. That was already filled. He had Oakland before. He got him to the Super Bowl. No, he didn't. He didn't even give him to the Super Bowl. They got to the Super Bowl with another coach.
Right.
Was it Linehan? It might have been Linehan. He used to be on office coordinator in Dallas. Right. Possibly with that. So I felt like at that moment that that's their part. Like, he's in rebuilding stage. I'm going to be there. Now I'm going to go to 49. Every time, the thing with me is the eye test. Kyle Shanahan. Garoppolo got hurt. He went back with CJ. CJ Beathard has only one game left. Me personally, if I'm a head coach, you know, all my sports, I'm possibly going to probably say, what I got to lose going to third string? I haven't seen what you do. We saw him get hurt last year. You saw Garoppolo take over. You saw Garoppolo get money. Then you go right back to the guy who wasn't so successful last year. And you put him back in the starting. And the thing about CJ Beathard, the team has been the same injury or not. And I felt like with Nick Mullins has advantages because of that. With injuries or not, the team still been playing. It just had a better quarterback to lead. CJ Beathard holds the ball. That's the biggest problem. The biggest problem is he holds the ball too long. He has a ball that throws in the air. A lob ball that gives defenders a chance to get back on the ball. Either possibly deflect it or possibly catch an interception or whatever. So his way of moving, and he takes a lot of sacks in situations. It was a lot of throws that I saw in the game, regardless if they played Raiders or not, that I saw Nick Mullen make. That I said, man, CJ Beathard was there. That pass would never be thrown, or there would have been a sack.
Right.
Little glimpse of that, you know. And this is another question. Now, of course, it's Kyle Shanahan. Because Kyle Shanahan, when people asked him in the press, they said, you think Nick Mullens will get a shot at playing quarterback? Before, see, their brother got hurt, wrist problems, whatever, et cetera. He was like, we don't have another quarterback. We don't have a better quarterback. Okay. Now, the tables have turned because of the fact this quarterback that you said wasn't no good took the offense downfield easily. Again, yeah, against the Oakland Raiders, but I'm not looking at just the Oakland, I'm looking at the point of how he moved the ball downfield.
Right.
Like, any pro team, it's still not like that. What are you about to say? I'm sorry.
And my point to that is, I mean, the guy steps in, he throws one more pass than the veteran, that being Derek Carr, because you don't have this young man on the leash. Kyle Shanahan throws him out in the field. There's no leash on him. You get a ball to Matt Breida. You get a ball to I don't know how to pronounce his name, but the fullback. You get a ball to him. Throw the ball to who you're comfortable with, young man. There's no leash on this guy. You put him out in the field. He goes 16 between two, over 250 yards, three touchdowns. And you see who his targets are. He has a mixture of getting the ball out in the flat to Pierre Garçon, out down the stretch to Kittle. So I think that's where John Gruden is probably overcoaching, if you're asking me, in the comparison of the two quarterbacks in week 9. The guy's simply probably overcoaching a Derek Carr and trying to make it seem like, hey, I know, like you said, I know next year I'm on the hot seat because right now I just lost to the Mullins. I just lost to Kyle Shanahan, who's on his third quarterback on the season.
Right.
And next year, in my opinion, this guy's kind of look like a Hugh Jackson because this brother goes in, he gets first pick, and then you're possibly going to get the first round pick, just because you have the worst season in NFL, the worst record in the NFL. So what do you do then? And then you see what they did with the Browns, and they go 2-6-1 right now. So what's the excuse for a veteran and for a guru such as John Gruden? And I think right now the measuring tape is starting to show. John Gruden, look at when you Mullins, look at how he got the ball, got rid of the ball, look how comfortable he was in the pocket, how comfortable he was in the offense in general. I think the 49ers played a great game. I think, you know, of course, they have a tough week in week 10 coming up, but at the end of the day, the 49ers showed some life in Oakland and California, and this is a team that we can see next year healthy, barring injury. They step up to the plate and actually become, I wouldn't say a threat, but they become, you know, obviously more favorable in that division. Of course, you got the Rams, but you don't know what they're going to be next year with such an expensive roster. So I think the 49ers actually have a good upside after this year going into next season.
You good?
I'm good.
All right. So here's my thing with that. Now we're gonna go to Baltimore and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
How you feel about supposedly the number one scoring defense in football, probably top five defense, apparently you get a lot of takeaways. They lost three games in a row. They lost to the New Orleans Saints at home, 24-23. They got beat up pretty bad in Carolina, but then they try to make it look invincible with 36 to 21, as I should say. And then they just lost to their rival in the division, the Pittsburgh Steelers. How do you feel about the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh
Steelers? Originally, you know, I believe that the Baltimore Ravens were that team that we said, hey, we slept on these guys. Because of their ability to incorporate Lamar Jackson into the offense. And you look at a guy like Alex Collins and you say he might be a top pick if you're a fantasy lover. You say this guy might be a top pick in running back when you get rid of the tier one guys, this guy's possibly a tier two, tier three running back. And you look at these guys and you say, honestly, they can't get the ball down the field. They're limited. They don't have a big, strong wide receiver. They don't have a big, strong tight end. And they don't have a system, really, that allows them to pass the ball, and that's their number one issue because you can only put Lamar Jackson in there and run these trick plays so much. And for the first 4 weeks, that worked. And as after time went by, we saw them having trouble in their games, which has caused them to fall down in the rankings in their division.
Right. I say the same thing. Did they pick up Ty Montgomery, even though he had a little hiccup that week before in L.A.? He's one of the most versatile players in football. A lot of people give him a lot of credit, though. Running back, kick, turn, punt, turn. You wide receiver number 88 playing running back. He played both positions. I felt like this was his first week. Maybe things will progress next week for him because he'll be able to move over. Now, the thing with Pittsburgh Steelers, they've been the same team for years. No matter who they put in at the running back position, they have a particular system that they run. And no Connors, no Le'Veon Bell at all. He's not, but he does enough to do what they have to do. Now, Big Ben is pretty happy because he has a QB coach as offensive coordinator. He believes in and makes him feel comfortable, so he can kind of call his own. And you know, I feel like that plays into play. I feel like they're still gonna win division. But my biggest thing is, this is the thing we always talk about: is Pittsburgh, being Super Bowl until they meet their Pittsburgh, the Patriots. It never fails. They always meet the Patriots, and it's the same song, the same story. And you know, the Patriots will probably get home field advantage again, unless Kansas City loses. Right now, Kansas City is in a trap game, not this week, the week after. They got to play against the L.A. Rams. And the New England Patriots hold the head-to-head matchup, so they can't afford to lose. And right now, with the Chargers playing so well at 5-2, even though they're going to Arrowhead next time, doesn't mean necessarily that they're going to be an easy out for Kansas City. So more pressure's on Kansas City right now because I really feel like the Patriots are in the weakest division of football. They guarantee to win those 8 games. This is one of the reasons why Tom Brady's career is still around. Because we got to play against the Miami Dolphins, New York Jets, and the Buffalo Bills.
Nice.
You ain't got to prepare for them every week. You don't have to, the past 6, 7, 8, 9 years, you ain't got to prepare for that division, the AFC East. He guaranteed to get those. Now, he'll win games out of the division, where the Patriots overall as an organization. But that's nothing to prepare for. So I feel like he has an easy road going down before the playoffs, and possibly able to get home field. The Patriots get home field advantage again. We're going to see the same show in the Super Bowl. I don't see nobody.
Right.
They have a above average defense. I ain't going to say top 10 or whatever, but they do enough. They're very disciplined. They do enough to help Tom Brady. But I feel like I knew Pittsburgh was going to win this game. I feel like the number one scoring defense or the number one defense football has to do better for Joe Flacco to have to find a way to put points on.
And my thing is, are they really the top scoring defense after we saw teams like the Vikings and the Bears rip away at the opposing teams this weekend? It was something. I mean, I know it was the Bills and the Lions that aren't very well offensively, especially after you, if you're the Lions, you lose Golden Tate. So you're depending on Kenny Galloway and Marvin Jones. So your offense is a little off right now. But, yeah, I mean, both teams look great this weekend, man. And kind of push the Ravens to shame because they do have a great defense. That front seven is something nasty. And with Eric Reddle leading the defensive backs, they're no joke. And that you're talking about a true veteran that got the win knocked out of him by James Conner this weekend. And as commentator says on the broadcast, the guy probably cleared the sinuses. I happen to think he may have did more than that. The brother may still be suffering from a migraine right about now. But Baltimore Ravens looked absolutely atrocious last week. It was nothing. There's nothing to even take lightly because again, you're talking about a top team that was battling with the Redskins as a top defense in the NFL this year, and they stayed the course for the last 6-7 weeks until they met the teams like the Saints and the Steelers. So yeah, I give it to you on that. This team really needs to pick it up, going over into Week 10, and I still believe if you're the Baltimore Ravens, although you just kind of I guess got Lamar Jackson. You should have been one of the guys that were very intrigued in a guy like Demaryius Thomas, who's a big, tall, wide receiver, and went over to the Houston Texans. That's somebody you should have been involved with, and along with Amari Cooper. I mean, as guys, Dez Bryant. I mean, I know the guy didn't take the deal, but at this point, I think you give the guy what he wants. He's working out with the Saints today. These are big wide receivers that make big catches, such as a Michael Thomas. They're capable of catching the ball at all times. The thing is, their possession receivers, and right now the Ravens don't have that. They have long ball receivers, and they have a running back who really has to burst through the line in order to make an impact in the run game for the Baltimore Ravens.
You're right about that. I agree with that 100%. And especially, I tell you what, if Dez Bryant signs with the Saints, my goodness. But let's talk about the LA Rams and the Saints. One of the games of the week, they were discussing them. How you feel about that?
Man, you know what? The Rams should have lost last week. You know, they should have lost last week to the Green Bay Packers, and Ty Montgomery gave it up. But moving on to Week 9, you know, let bygones be bygones. The Saints played an outstanding game. They attacked a team that is struggling in the secondary. You're talking about a team that has two guys up front, and Dominican Sue and Aaron Donald are scary. And the left side of the line is no joke either. So I don't even know what to say. The Saints really surprised me with this one. I didn't think that they would rely and depend on their passing game as much as they did. But they had a very balanced offense. Sean Payton, outstanding game plan. Again, to really attack that defense, that secondary defense, the way he did, the way he constantly allowed Michael Thomas to go after Marcus Peters and show himself and show out like the way he did. Beautiful. It was a beautiful game from start to end. It was not a time I can even step away to go use the restroom. That's how great this game was. It was greatly anticipated. I wish they play again, but they don't. And it's probably two teams that were eliminated last year. Rams being eliminated by the Falcons, and the Saints being eliminated by the Vikings last year. Two teams we both thought would make it last year. They were really top contenders. They had an outstanding offense, outstanding defense, and this year it only gets better. So you ask yourself, can these two teams meet in the NFC Championship? Well, hell, I think it's the two teams everybody wants to see, and it's the two teams that right now, they're only two teams in the NFC that qualify for the playoffs.
Right, and I agree. I feel like those are two teams, and right now the Saints got the head-to-head match, so they get the number one seed. The thing that I see in the homes of the L.A. Rams that people are not discussing or talking about is it's maybe one or two elite quarterbacks. This will be the season. The thing about it, yeah, they got a dominant front seven, but a guy like Drew Brees gets with the ball quick. And this is the thing I'm saying, like you're playing against Sean Payton and Drew Brees. They do this, their homework on every defense just about to make sure things happen. And you know Sean Payton's calling the offense. He's the offense coordinator as well. So him and Drew Brees have been together for years. So it's just like a relationship. They've been together. They know each other just like the back of their hand. So the thing about Drew Brees that people don't talk about could be possibly in the GOAT category because of his ability to complete passes and to make every receiver look better than what they are. Somebody like Tom Brady. He throws a lot of receivers open. Now, Michael Thomas is a bad boy. He's a bad boy. He is a bad boy, and then he got a two-headed monster in the backfield, which allows him to create the play action with Kamara and Ingram. So I've seen a lot of holes in that defense. I've seen a lot in the secondary off the play action. But the running game was there. You can actually shift out Kamara into the passing game, so he provides a lot of versatility. The thing that I see with the Saints, they have a overall great offensive line. He's a kind of leader that can put people to disagree. His ability to be the director of the bank.
Right.
The LA Rams just have the best running back in football right now. That's about it. You take away the best running back in football, you don't see no Rams. He allows the play action to happen. He allows everything to get consistently wide open because of him right now being the best running back in football. And that alone is the reason why the Rams are where they are.
And that's why I was really surprised to see the backup running back come in and get a touchdown. I was surprised. I was even more surprised that they even had a guy on the roster, that he even had a jersey that Todd Gurley plays. The team can't function without Todd Gurley. It's like if you take Aaron Rodgers off the Packers, they're not going to function. So, yeah, I agree with every point you made there, and I believe that right now, man, the Saints and the Rams are the two best teams in the NFL. It's no doubt about it. In hindsight, you look at a team like the Chiefs, who's very young, so you probably wouldn't say they're a top team, but I actually believe the Chiefs are a top three team as well. I mean, they're definitely all three teams are great, and they're definitely top three, those three teams. But you look at the Chiefs, and you, like you said, Todd Gurley is a centerpiece to that team, but the Chiefs have a lot more weapons, and they might be better than the Rams if you put them together. It's just a matter of how long Patrick Mahomes is allowed to stay in that pocket and make a play. And we saw what the brother can do I forget which week it was, but against Denver at Mile High Stadium. And this guy made a half possession after possession after possession. And he simply just didn't use the clock against the Patriots, which caused some issues, as you saw the game ended with the Patriots winning that game. But the Chiefs, I believe, might actually be better than the LA Rams just because of their offensive weapons that they have on that team with Patrick Mahomes leading the team.
Yeah, they have multiple weapons. But the good news about this, Levon, is that the Chiefs and the Rams play not this week. They play the week of this week. So we'll be able to see who really is, who they are. We're going to be able to see who are the Kansas City Chiefs and who the Rams are. But looking at this game, I've seen the Saints put up 45 points against that defense, holding number ranked. The LA Rams defense is ranked number 8 in the NFL. They got 45 points put up. 45 points. We already know the story on the Saints defense for years. The Saints might have had one or two decent defenses or whatever, but they don't have that. They believe in Drew Brees to win. Okay, so I'm not surprised about the Saints getting 35 points. Not at all. That's not a shock. But to give up 45 points, but people probably say that Drew Brees is possible. Let's talk about the Sunday night game, Patriots versus Green Bay.
Man, I couldn't get enough of that game. Even when it was out of reach for the Packers, I couldn't get enough of it because it's only third time you've seen Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers face off. It's like when you get to see Peyton Manning, and it's like you're anticipating Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. It's like, man, one day these guys got to play in the Super Bowl together against each other, and it never happens. But seeing those two guys play against each other was outstanding, man. Again, it goes back to what I said before about Todd Gurley and I referenced Aaron Rodgers. It's when you look at that team, you take Aaron Rodgers off that team, who are they? What's their identity? And the thing is, they're unknown. They're an unknown team. They're a blank jersey with no numbers on it and no names on the back. And you shouldn't have a G on the front. That's how bad they are. The Packers are just that bad off without Aaron Rodgers. And when he's not healthy, it's even worse. When you trade away Jordy Nelson, who's a complimentary piece on the offense, it takes away. So I don't believe that was a smart move. I don't believe you just ship this guy off to Oakland. He's like a chess piece out there. He won't move until you move him in Oakland. And as far as the Packers go facing against the Patriots, I believe the Patriots will win that game the entire time just because of the offensive weapons that they have. The system for Bill Belichick, he could have put Brian Hoyer in and still won that game. That's point blank, period.
Right. That's the thing about the Patriots that people don't understand. Like, every player they trade or get rid of, they find a duplicate to fit their system. And, man, looking at this Patriots team, when I was looking at it the other day, they're not so bad on offense. They got some tough guys up there. It's a little different. You got Josh Gordon now. Got him cheap, but still, that's what Belichick does. Then you got Cordell Patterson. A lot of people don't give him a lot of credit. He can practice. You saw you put him in multiple areas. When you get back a healthy Gronkowski, then you add Edelman with that. My goodness. Weapons like that, then you got the guy James White. Not James White, another running back in the back. But he's pretty versatile. But the thing is that that's what makes this Patriots team tick. System and the players they put in particular areas of the system. I'm only shouting it off. The thing about it, what gets me is that Aaron Rodgers must be looking at money and looking at his retirement. Because I would not ask the Green Bay Packers for that much. I'm trying to win the Super Bowl at this time in his career. I would think he would want to go to the Bills. I'm not saying take a big pick if it's Aaron Rodgers. But I'm saying Pete finds something to come between the meetings, between the organization you're trying to go with and your budget and your price range as well. Because you took $80 million the first year. This first year, he's guaranteed $80 million. Now, the rest of these years of this contract, he's not guaranteed that. So he does have some fluctuation into his contract because of that. Day. He then took the big amount this year. When did you draw? He got $80 million. The rest of the years is so-so. So somebody might take the bait and possibly try to trade, which I doubt it. And Green Bay knows Green Bay. Green Bay is owned by the people. It's different for most organizations. They don't have a fee in this thing, but it's only shared for some of them. They don't have a regular owner like most things do. So it's a little different. So I don't know how they're gonna go about it, how that deal is made, but I'm pretty sure those things they're gonna find a way. I truly believe he's the elsewhere of the name the Green Bay like got that much talent thing they have, I feel like he could be something else.
I completely agree.
But yeah, and I knew from the get-go, from getting the game, that the Patriots were going to win their game because of the fact that their defense was a lot better than the Green Bay Packers defense. It came down to can the Patriots stop Aaron Rodgers a few times? Fumble kind of put them in a bad situation. But you know, turnovers in the game of that Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers, you knew that if Aaron Rodgers or the Green Bay Packers turned the ball, you asking that the defense stop Tom Brady. It was going to be tough. It was going to be tough battle. I just knew that. That's what happened. And I felt like the Patriots defense was better than the Green Bay Packers defense. And the Patriots defense could stop Aaron. But I just didn't see Green Bay defense.
I agree. I can't agree more. They're two great teams, but that defense, as shallow as it is, when you think about it, when you put the names on paper, it's a defense that that works for the system. The system of that defense can excel and really have an impact anywhere against anyone that they play, and that's been the consistency in New England.
Right. I got an interesting topic for you, man. Sean Payton and Drew Brees, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. I know people will probably pick Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. How you feel? I'm looking at these interesting stats here with Sean Payton being, he was 100, so far he's 112-76.
Right.
That's 500, that's a 596% winning percent. In the postseason, he's 75. Bill Belichick is 280. He has 280 wins and 130 losses. Postseason, 28-11, it's 718. Talk about dominance in the NFL. How you feel about the two coaches? Do you feel like one is best in the world?
I think any logical person would say that Tom Brady is the better quarterback. Bill Belichick is the better coach. But man, you know, in the NFL or in sports in general, I'm a guy that likes to have fun. It's not all business all the time. And you think about a guy like Belichick, who's also a GM. So he has a lot more responsibility. But me naturally, man, I would probably take Sean Payton and Drew Brees. And my opinion may be a little biased a bit because I love Drew Brees. The guy was originally a Charger, and I'm a huge Chargers fan. So I think with the weapons that the Saints have been given, which has been very, very little compared to a team like the Patriots, because of the organization's will to continuously auction off players as well as buy players at any, not at any price, but at a very cheap price. And most of the times, it's guys like Josh Gordon, it's guys that they give him a second chance. And other times, it's just a luck of the draw when you can sit in the draft and you get a guy like Sony Michel, where you can get a guy like James White, where you just gave up Deion Lewis and Danny Amendola. And you also lost Wes Welker. And you get Julian Edelman. And you get Bennett. You lose Bennett. You still got Gronkowski. I mean, it's just an ever-going cycle, and it's never going to end. But I think at the end of the day, it comes down to the organization. And that's something that Bill Belichick controls, and he has to be able to have an input on that. And it matters. Sean Payton does as well, but his record is nowhere near the same. I mean, this guy, Bill Belichick, has been in the league for 23 years versus 12 years for Sean Payton. And so, I mean, when you look at the longevity of that, that Bill Belichick has the upper hand. But as a personal standpoint, man, I'm taking Sean Payton and Drew Brees all day because those guys are winners too, and they're winners without the system. That's what it comes down to.
And that's what I was telling people. You know, a lot of people probably talk about the YouTube Coach Khalid, probably the most scrutinized since we've been watching football, from the paper player to the Spygate. I don't know about the paper player, but the Spygate, I'm going to just say it like this. All these coaches, scouts, whatever, get caught, whatever, but that's the name of the game. So I'm not taking that away. I'm going to give you some interesting stats here, man. Drew Brees versus Tom Brady, career-wise. Game 79, Tom Brady 76. Completes 2,187. Drew Brees 1,831 completions for Tom Brady.
Right.
3,145. Drew Brees does throw the ball more, and Tom Brady has 2,847 because they have a mixture with the rankings and stuff. But the completion percentage all time is 69.5. Drew Brees, 64.3, Tom Brady. Yards, 24,526 and 21,353 for Tom Brady.
Right.
Yards attempt, 7.8, Tom Brady, 7.5. Pass TD, Drew Brees, 164, Tom Brady, 150. Interceptions, of course, more throws, more attempts. That goes to Brees. Brees got 63, Tom Brady got 54. Passer rating right now, real wise, 101.6 for Drew Brees, 99.5 for Tom Brady. Game winning drives, they both tied at 12. That's interesting. Like, people don't put them in the GOAT, but they just got just about close to the same stats for really Drew Brees is up.
Right.
I'm going to go with 2018, though. I'm going to start there. I'm going to just. Pass attempts 279 degrees, 330 Tom Brady. Pass completions 213 degrees, 221 because of the fact that 330 attempts more. But that's not bad. You had 330 attempts and you only complete 221 compared to 213 pass completions this year. Completion percent is 76.3. Drew Brees 67% Tom Brady this year. My thing is, though, people probably say he throws short passes. It don't matter. Pass is pass. It takes accuracy. Sometimes Drew Brees throw people over. Yards per attempt, 8.4. Drew Brees, 7.6. Tom Brady. TD pass this year, Drew Brees, 18. Tom, 17. Interceptions this year, 1 for Drew Brees, 7 for Tom Brady. I mean, these are the stats that just that were eye dropping to me when I was looking at it. I was just interested, period. That's why I brought this up.
Yeah.
So first down, 114 Drew Brees, 119 Tom Brady. Time sacked this year. Both got good lines, but Drew Brees only been sacked 9. Tom Brady been sacked 13. Passer rating. Drew Brees got 120.6 passer rating to Tom Brady 97.7. First downs, which is funny because CD2 pocket match Brent is interesting, but these two are really winning. 7 first down, and Tom Brady didn't even notice this was I dropped a stack. He had 8 first downs running this year. But okay, old man still running. But since the first downs, 38.9 degrees, rest for first down. this stretch. 44.4 Tom Brady. And total TDs, they both got two. The reason why I brought this up is because a lot of people always put Aaron Rodgers. It was Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. But no other people. Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. So I just gave you some facts. They said, you agree?
Well, I kind of heard a little bit what you said. It kind of broke up a little bit, but I believe it was you asking as far as who's the GOAT between the two options, right?
Yeah, I was asking basically who the GOAT, not the GOAT, but who you feel is better. You feel like Tom Brady is better because of Belichick, or do you feel that Drew Brees is better because of Sean Payton? Reason why I say Sean Payton because, you know, he went to San Diego. He played in San Diego at first. So you've seen both worlds of Drew Brees.
Right. I'll address both of those. I believe that Bill Belichick makes Tom Brady better. You can put Tom Brady on the Packers and put Aaron Rodgers on the Patriots. And Aaron Rodgers would be a 10-time Super Bowl championship right now versus five. That's the caliber of quarterback that Drew Brees is. Something like an Aaron Rodgers. The guy makes it happen. Drew Brees, without Sean Payton, is still a successful quarterback. Numbers may not be as high because Sean Payton is an offensive quarterback, is an offensive-minded coach, and he's great with quarterbacks, specifically Drew Brees, who should be the love of his life because the guy saves his job every year. He's a very generous man. Drew Brees is simply a great quarterback. There's no other way to put it. The guy makes plays. He grips with the ball. I actually met Drew Brees 2 years ago, and the guy blends in with the crowd. He walked right by me, and I didn't even notice him. And that's what I'm getting to right now. This analogy means that Drew Brees is sitting at the top of all-time quarterbacks, and he's blending in with the crowd because he's not flashy, because he's not in a specific offense, because he's not in that great system such as New England. The guy looks basic. He looks like any other regular guy that puts on a helmet and lines up behind the center to play quarterback versus Tom Brady, who puts number 12 on and somehow looks different from Aaron Rodgers, who puts the Patriots helmet on and somehow looks different than a great guy like Randy Moss, who put the same helmet on. So it all has to do with Belichick at the end of the day and his form and his demeanor. And I'll tell you what, if Sean Payton came out and addressed questions such as Greg Popovich or Bill Belichick does,
ooh,
Drew Brees would probably get the same attention that Tom Brady, maybe not as much, but just a little bit more than what he's getting right now. He wouldn't be the basic guy. He's not your plain piece of bread. He wouldn't be a plain piece of bread as he is right now when people try to make him out to be.
I agree with that. Let's go to week 10. I'm going to ask your questions on what's an intriguing game to you that's a must-watch for the viewers?
Oh, man, you know, let me take a look at this right quick here, week 10, because as always, I love to see my L.A. Chargers take on a great matchup. But this week we're playing the Raiders, and I can't be too excited about that. But if you ask me, man, I'm looking forward to seeing this Thursday night football game. You know why?
Pittsburgh.
Because you talk about two teams. Steelers should be 6-2. They shouldn't have tied with the Browns. So I'm gonna say two teams, 6-2. Very well respected quarterbacks. Very well respected organizations as a whole. These two teams have different weapons. And it's a very intriguing game just because you look at the nitty-gritty Carolina Panthers. So you say, oh, who do they have? You know, besides Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey, who we didn't think would be this big of a deal coming out of college because he's small. But right. He gets the job done. Greg Olsen battling a foot injury every single year. If this guy injures his foot one more time, he's going to be out of feet. This is the game I'm looking forward to. I'm always looking forward to seeing the Saints play, and I think they have a great matchup in the Bengals if A.J. Green was playing, but unfortunately, he might be out for 2 weeks. Other than that, man, I'm looking forward to Sunday Night Football. Eagles and Cowboys, baby. Look, I can't stand the Cowboys, man. It's like in Chicago. I'm from Northwest. I'm from Northwest Indiana. So it's like listening to a Chicago Bulls fan, man. They live in the Michael Jordan days, and no matter what Derrick Rose does, this guy is the greatest thing since sliced bread. So this is an intriguing game because you got Carson Wentz who's coming back. You get Golden Tate. You got Alshon Jeffrey. You lose AJ Ajayi, but you still have a run game somewhat in Clement and the other guy back there. I forget his name. But you look at the Cowboys who just dropped the game yesterday in Monday Night Football. So you ask yourself, you know, what does this team have to offer at 4-4, and what can the at 3-5, and what can the Eagles be at 4-4, and can either one of these teams surpass the Washington Redskins as they go into Week 10 of NFL football? Who takes over? This is a very tight division, and as far as I'm concerned, heck, if I'm the New York Giants, I still have hope because these teams are so bad. That's how intriguing this matchup is on Sunday Night Football.
How do you feel about Jason Garrett? Do you feel like he needs to be fired? Me personally, I feel like Jerry Jones is not letting him. He doesn't want a real coach there because he should have been fired 8 years ago. But hey, it is what it is. And I feel like that's one part. And I just see that thing was not getting rid of Dez. Now you got Amari Cooper. I don't know what I'm getting out of. After the performance I saw yesterday with the Cowboys, I also felt like people don't understand that the Titans are top 10 defense in football. A lot of people make it seem like they just lost to them. This team has a chance to win the AFC South, even though they do. It's been on the road, but they right there behind them. So right. It might be great, but it's doable. It's enough, man. They'll get the job done. There was one player where he'll be here, Charles, in London.
They were.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm looking at this team, and I'm looking at where Mike Vrabel coming from, the pedigree of Bill Belichick, and Tom O'Brien. Tom O'Brien came to Bill Belichick as well, So, I just feel like you got to get a coach in that's going to run plays in Jacksonville. I don't think another coach trying to run their own system.
Hey, man, I love it. I love it. I can dig it.
With that being said, man, Levon Wilk, I appreciate you coming on the show. We'll dive in maybe next week sometime on social media, whatever, kind of discuss the topics. And we'll talk about popular Panthers and Pittsburgh game or whatever game that's kind of intriguing. Or it was great having you. Also, man, tell the viewers about your show as well. Your predictions.
I appreciate it. But, guys, like you said in the beginning, I'm Levon Whitaker here with Sports With, man. I'm your sports analyst here on Sports With, man. Look, I'm on social media. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, man. I'm also on YouTube, and I have a podcast on Apple iTunes. Find me there. Listen, subscribe. I look forward to doing more shows with you, man. You've been a great host, and I really hope to gain some of your followers, man, because you got a great crowd. I see you on Facebook all day, and you really knock out the points, man. You hit them where it hurts, and that's what matters.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it, man. Every day getting better, just like you, man. And also, guys, follow my show, Raw Mind Sports. It's on everything, iTunes, Spotify. Leave a review. Also, Levon Whitaker's on page on Sportsbook. I'm pretty sure he'll love to see what you guys got to say about his show. With that being said, you guys have a great day, great night, great morning. See you again.
To be the best, you gotta beat the best. I'm like Curry in the clutch when it comes to this. Swish, all next, gon' put your best. This ain't checkers, this is chess. What's your best move? Fun debates about the greats of live interviews. With a chosen few who did what they had to do. On the road to glory, telling untold stories. If it's 4th and 10 for the win, I'm going for it. Yeah, that's all mine, speaking with a raw mind. Been in the shadow for too long, now it's time to shine. Yeah, that's all mine, speaking with a raw mind. On the ladder to success, now it's time to climb. Raw mind, sports show. Raw mind, sports show. The prime time, let's go. Raw mind, sports show. I just like the sound of it.